That one of my favorite psalms this morning. So if you'll turn over to Psalm chapter number one, we'll be able to encourage our men this morning, I pray. But let me say before we give our men such a hard time, this is applicable for all of us this morning. But yet I do want to play much on Father's Day and our men, because what a vital role the Lord has given men and fathers. And so as we look at this, you found your place over on Psalm chapter number one. I can't finish this morning, so I beg you, please, I'm so excited about this message with our men and our dads. I cannot finish this message this morning. I have to finish it tonight. So this is a two-parter. I usually don't ever do that, and I just about fell right there. Did y'all see that? So you have to come. If I have to fall to get you here, I suppose that'll be worth it. But anyways, please come tonight because I want to finish this. You know, the Marine Corps just asked for a few good men, and I respect our armed services. But you know, I think God asked for godly men, and I think there's a great need. Our church needs you. Our community needs you. Our world, our society, our culture really needs some godly men. You can say amen to that, right? You know, there's something that bothers me about Father's Day, though. You know, Father's Day is a wonderful time where we set aside to honor the fathers in our life. But I'll be honest with you, what bothers me is it doesn't get near the hype. It doesn't get near the publicity as Mother's Day. Have you noticed that, men? Yeah, even if you agree with me. Well, I'm just a little bit jealous, if you can't tell. But yet, nonetheless, I believe it's a good thing to be a dad. I think it's a good thing to be a man. Don't you, men? All right, all four of us do. You're kind of concerned about that. I know it's early. Many of y'all just got out of bed. But I believe it's a good thing to be a man. And I'll give you just a few reasons why we jump into this text before this morning. I believe that it's a good thing to be a man because our phone conversations only last 30 seconds. Yeah? I believe a five-day vacation for men only requires one suitcase. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to be a man because our channel surfing, we can watch five different programs at one time. And we can do that. I also believe that car mechanics tell us the truth. I believe it's a good thing to be a man. I love this one. Because we can admire John Wayne without starving ourselves to look like him. I think it's a good thing to be a man because gray hair, wrinkles, and baldness only add character to a man. And the last one, if we show up to a party and another man has our shirt or our outfit on, we become best of friends. Yeah. So I say at the end of the day, it's a good thing to be a man. And so all joking aside, I want to say that I'm sure you're well aware that our society is slipping into spiritual and moral decay. And I personally place a lot of blame upon men. Now I know I'm going to be tough this morning, but I think I'm just going to call a spade a spade. I put the blame mostly on men. What I mean I'm talking about is those sorry men and deadbeat dads. It's the responsibility of men to be the spiritual and moral leaders of the home. But we've allowed our atheistic society to redefine, realign, and reassign our roles as men. Men, we are raising a generation of young boys who know nothing of manhood and masculinity. Could I get an amen there? Look around you. I think it's high time that we quit raising sissies. We don't need sissies. We need men, real men of God. They are confused about their gender roles, their sexuality, to the point that they're becoming an embarrassment to a human race. It's high time and past time we as men step up to the plate and reassume our God-given roles and responsibilities. In doing so, I believe with all my heart, we can reclaim the blessings of God not only in our lives, but in our families, in our churches, and in our communities. The theme of Psalm chapter 1 is the joy of the godly man and the judgment of the wicked man. I want you to look at this with me together. Very short psalm, but you'll see the meaning. In Psalm 1 verse 1, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff in which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Now, I have to conclude again this message tonight, but this morning I want to look at the message again, the need of godly men. The need of godly men. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll begin. Our Father, again, as we bow before you, just so grateful for who you are and the example of godly men that you've placed in our path. Not only with the life and the example of the Lord Jesus, but also I believe here in the Psalms, Lord, that you spelled out for us the need of godly men. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take the Word of God and may it find a resting place in our heart and in our soul to challenge us and to change us all to be more like you. Lord, we ask that you would rear up a generation of men who love God and lead their families and their homes and their community in a way that would be pleasing unto you. Lord, we pray that you would give us the anointing of the Spirit of God and the unction, Lord, to preach your word in a way that you would be glorified and lives are changed. We ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As we look at the need of godly men, I shared with you in an introduction, and I pray that you all share my heart of how desperately we need true men of God, specifically as our fathers. Because as goes the father, so goes the family. And that's so true. I said it in youth ministry, every time I had a troubled child or I had a problematic child, all I had to do was follow them home and I could find the source. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. We lead by example. Every father in this place is a leader. My question is, where are you leading your children and where are you leading your family? And so I pray we'll take the role model of the Word of God and we can radically change our families and our churches and our community. First thing we learn about a godly man, a godly father, is that his positions are easily recognized. Notice that in verse number 1, blessed, that word is happy, content, satisfied is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's three positions here this morning, right here in verse number 1, and this is as far as we're going to get this morning, talking about the positions of a godly dad, a godly man. They're easily recognized. First of all, we learn that his counsels will be godly. Boy, what a blessing to be able to go to a father, to a man of God, and know the counsel that he gives to his family, to his children, to his wife, to his co-workers and those around him will be that which is godly, that which you can take with you and prosper. His counsels are godly. Well, where are they? The Bible says he has a counsel of one of separation, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so here is a man of God who has separated himself from the counsel of the world. He realizes the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, the real man of God understands that he's in the world, but he's not of the world. Do you understand that? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. In other words, as God has saved us and God has radically changed our life, we are not to draw counsel and the things from the Word of God or from the world, but from the Word of God. There is a separation there. A man, a real man of God, has drawn a line in the sand and said, you count me different from those other men. My counsel is going to be not from this world, but from the Word of God. How desperately do we need our men in our culture to make that stand? How desperate do we need our dads to be men of God who will draw a line in the sand and says, as for me, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to seek counsel from God's Word. His counsel is not only one of separation, but it's also one that is sinless, one that is flawless, one that is perfect. And he draws that from the Word of God. Verse number 2 said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm telling you, if you'll have a man, a father, a godly man, who'll draw a line in the sand, he'll separate himself from the counsel of the world, and he'll put himself unto the counsel
of a holy God, His counsel will be perfect and flawless and inerrant. The Bible says it's the law of God. We understand something about the law of God and the Word of God. As I've already said, it is inerrant. It is the Word of God that never fails. Can I get an amen there? The Word of God never fails. It'll never leave you with the questions, but it always answers those things, meets the needs of our heart. Real men of God, turn away from the world and turn to the true and the living God and His holy word for directions in life. The Christian life is compared to a walk, and the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We learned 2 weeks ago in the Corinthian letters that Jesus said, you cannot walk with God while running with the devil. Isn't that good counsel? We need men that recognize that. We need fathers in our home and in our churches who recognizes the truth of godly counsel. Amen and amen. Now y'all got to get a little more livelier than this. Are you awake this morning? Do you have a pulse? If I'm telling you the truth, you can say amen. That is in the Baptist faith and doctrine. We're going to put it there, all right? And so His counsels will be godly. But notice this, and this one's where the rubber hits the road. Blessed is the man. You want to be happy? You want to be a glad dad? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. In other words, his counsel will be godly, but I believe his companions will be godly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Notice what the Bible says. Again, his fellowships, the dad's fellowships, the men of God's fellowships, they need to be pure. Dad, one sure way of checking out your fellowship is to ask, is this a place that I go? Is this place that I attend? Is this place that I frequent? Is it a place that I would be happy to take my wife and my children to? Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. It's a good standard for your life. Is it the fellowships that I need to be a part of? If the answer is no, sir, you have no business being there. You're standing in the way of sinners, and that is a very dangerous position to place yourself in. Listen, I think it's important to keep our fellowships clean. I would never want to go anywhere and be associated in any place that I could not take my wife and my children and not be embarrassed by. You understand that? You know, there's certain areas that you got to be in. There's certain areas that you just don't like, and you understand your purpose, but to choose a place that you fellowship and spend your leisure is a different time. I remember when I worked at the Ford place many years ago, I was a parts manager, and I was stuck back there in the area where all of our service folks were. And I'm telling you, you talk about some wicked, immoral men. It was tough back there. The language I couldn't stand, I harped all the time. They give me a hard time. They call me Rev and Preacher, and I just told them, I said, I don't care. If we have stepped in the parking lot, I don't care. You're not going to talk like that around me. I am not that kind of person. And I used to forbid my wife of ever walking past the showroom. I said, don't you dare ever come back there, because they don't respect a woman. They don't respect a lady. And they'll just say anything, they're bucket mouse, and you're not going to be in that place. See, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I understand my roles of being a priest and a provider, but also a protector of the home. And I'm not going to have my wife being influenced to something of that nature. And so I realize there's times that I had to be there because of my work, but I promise you that would not have been my leisure. That would not have been a place where I enjoyed fellowship. And so men today, I want you to understand, where you enjoy your leisure and where you spend your fellowship, is that a place that you would take your wife and your children? Well, if it's not, you have no business, again, being there. Very dangerous place when you're standing in the way of sinners. Notice the friendships. This is important too. They also need to be pure. Dad, is there anyone you hang out with that you sure wouldn't want to bring your children, your wife, to be exposed to? Then again, you have no business with that person except to share the gospel of Jesus Christ too. You don't have any business of hanging out there. Dad, I'm going to help you here. When your friends and your fellowship is of a godly man, you're found with the saints of God, spending your leisure and also your friendships with. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I'm my strongest in the Lord when I saturate myself with men and women and boys and and girls that loved Jesus Christ, who had the same burden. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Boy, how weak, how depleted I get when I'm separated from the saints of God. But boy, when I surround myself with the saints of God, like in a place this morning, I feel that I'm even more adequate in serving the Lord because the strength that you draw from the saints of God. And so I tell you, it's high time. It is high time that we as men of God draw a line in the sand and said my fellowships and my friendships need to represent the Lord too, because that's what? Look behind you, Dad. There's one following in your footsteps. Whether you like it or whether you don't, you lead by example. I know my dad, he's always been one of those that just had a hand for motorcycles, and he would fix them, and he always did it for the right thing. He could do it with just at ease, and he didn't charge anything. It was his love. And so because of those two things, good and cheap, he drew a crowd. And I remember when I was a kid, sometimes I'd be sitting in the driveway, and boy, it looked like the Hell's Angels would roll into my driveway. He said, Jim, would you look at my bike? And, you know, he could listen to it and tell them what was wrong, and many times just fix it right there and send them on their way. But I remember sometimes a rough crowd would come in, and boy, if that mouth would start, my dad say, you have no business here, you can move on. I've got children. You know what? I respect my dad for being like that. He kept his fellowships and his friendships pure. And it's so important. It's so important that we do that. We need to set an example, because I tell you, if you care anything about your family and your children, you'll draw a line in the sand. I believe like the psalmist is trying to teach us here. And so we know his counsels will be godly. His companions will be godly. But notice here, the Bible says in this third part of the Psalms, he said, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. His conversations will be godly. Oh, I know what you've already said. Uh-oh, preacher, you're going to meddling now. I can understand the companionships, I can understand the counsel, but don't you get on my conversation now. Well, I think it's important, don't you? I think it's very important that our conversations be godly. How many here understand the importance of that? We need our men, and we need our dads specifically, to have not only the walk with God, but a talk with God. I believe that our conversations need to be godly at all times. No scorn, the Bible teaches about. No skepticism. Dads, I know you don't mind your wife and your children hearing your conversations at the church on Sunday, but what if they followed you to work on Monday? What if they could hear you at the workplace and at the lake or in the woods with those ungodly companions? Would you not crawl up in a shell to hear the words that would come out of your mouth, that your children would hear, that your spouse would hear? Oh, you have the right speech and communication on Sunday, but a bucket mouth on Monday. You know what used to rub me raw when I would work in secular life? On Monday, everybody wanted to come in and talk about the church and the services they had. And then that seemed to wear off in about 5 minutes. And after that first disgruntled customer come in, it seemed like everything that they learned over the weekend was gone by their communication. Boy, that used to bother me so bad that, you know, James said, talking about the tongue, at the same mouth we bless God and curse. I mean, good night. These things ought not to be, James said. How in the world could you represent Christ and talk like the devil? Why does it always get quiet when you talk to Baptists about their speech and their communication? I mean, does everybody on the same page believe that our men, and our ladies for that matter, need to have clean communication? It needs to be godly. You know, I tell you, when it's funny, when I have children, children's workers back here, boy, they got the stories. Yeah, y'all are smiling, the ones I'm talking about. They tell on you. I mean, they tell on you. All right, we just lost enrollment in children's church, didn't we? Children's workers, boy, they come out of their reds sometimes. Because they give a little prayer request that goes, you know what my daddy said? He said it to my mama. He got mad at the neighbor. You know what he said? And then they come out of there and grab the pastor. What do we do? You don't know what this kid said. Well, don't you get on the kid. Where did they hear it? Where are they learning it? Oh, well, they just pick up so much on television. They pick up so much on at the school. Well, yes, they do. But do you understand their greatest hero in life is you, Dad? And what you do, they will do, like it or not. Your conversations need to be pure. They need to be godly. They need to be clean. And I understand that many still have to learn the English language over again if they want their communication to be clean. But I want to say, if they could only hear those conversations with ungodly companions, I believe you would be embarrassed this morning. It's not long after you walk with those who are by the way, those who are sinners. Then you begin to talk like them. You see the digression. And then it's not long that you begin to act like them. And then you're associated with them. Dad, let's borrow another prayer from the psalmist that says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength and my redeemer. A prayer I pray every morning of my life because I want to serve God not just with my life, but I want to serve Him with my lips. I want my speech and my communication to be godly. I want folks to recognize a difference in my life. It takes little imagination to see in the text this morning how the person who is near sin stands to consider it and then finally setting down to enjoy the pleasures of sin that last a very short season. Don't you remember Peter? He got caught up in this trap after Jesus was arrested and taken away. We find Peter began to curse. Well, it's not long after you drift from the presence of Jesus that you begin to talk like the world. You begin to act like the world as he began to curse, and then we find him warming himself by the fires of the world. And boy, because of that, later on, him and Jesus had a head-on-head confrontation after the resurrection. Jesus said, you go tell the disciples, and Peter. It was a little unfinished business. So I'm just being honest with you. Men, as we make a stand as a Christian, if we're to be Christ-like, and we don't act Christ-like, our conversation, our companions, our counsel is not godly. Don't you think you can run and hide? You're going to have a man-to-man, a heart-to-heart with holy God. He's not going to sweep that under the rug. Because your life and your family and your children is worth you straightening that up. And so the Bible teaches us again that our conversation needs to be godly. Well, again, Peter got caught up in this. But yet, thank God, there was a way that Peter came back to the Lord Jesus and he made those things right, maybe that many of our men need to do today. But a child, and I wrote this on the board out here, Miss Ann actually put it for us, and I liked it. I found this quote this week, and I think it's so true. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. And that's so true. That's so true. God intended it that way. God created a family. They could have a relationship with holy God. And through that, they could be fruitful and multiply. And their children would be taught of the things of God. You know, I realize that many didn't have the perfect circumstances. But I tell you what, you can start where you are now and make a difference. You can make a difference in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, with your if your kids can see Christ in you, it is more likely that they can find, again, Christ themselves as a father. We see that dad is the leader. Every single one of us who are fathers and dads here are leaders. The question, as I said in the beginning, where are you leading your family? Where are you leading your wife? Where are you leading your children? Are you leading them to heaven or are you leading them straight to hell? Sir, you are responsible. Sir, you have a role that God has placed in you. To provoke not your children to wrath, he said, but to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Teach them that there is one God. As Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, you're to teach them by the way. In the morning when they rise, when they walk by the way, when they lay down at night, you're to teach them there is but one true and living God. He is our Savior and our Lord. They're to not only know that through your instruction, but they're to know that through your example. So again, I ask, where are you leading your children, man? Where are you leading your wife and your family? Are you leading them to heaven? Are you leading them to hell? We know that we lead by example, therefore, where are you going yourself? Are you on your way to heaven yourself? Or are you on the way to a devil's hell? Very simple. A very sobering question. Because before I entertained the ideal of helping your family, I realize there's probably men in this congregation and across our community
They cannot help their family because the greatest need is themselves. They need Jesus Christ. They can't lead their family and their wife and their children to heaven because they themselves are not going. You realize you can only lead where you're going yourself. And so the greatest need may be you coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so I think one of the greatest gifts on the planet from our Father in heaven is the gift of salvation and eternal life to us today. What about it? And then you can lead by example. I was able to see this in a neighbor some time ago. Had a real burden for my neighbor, and I liked him very well, but he just didn't know Jesus as his Savior. Had two precious kids and a wife that was always in church, always praying, always praying. They'd call me from time to time and say, "Won't you go up and talk to him? I think today's a good day. I think today's the right day." And so I'd try to be sensitive to that, and I'd go talk and go talk. And I'll never forget one day. I went over, and it was just me and his son sitting there on a Saturday afternoon. And as we were talking and I was trying to share the gospel with him, his little son, 4 years old, got up and he went over to the refrigerator and he grabbed a beer. And he came back and he climbed up on his daddy's lap and he said, "Here." He said, "Son, I don't want that. Put that up. Preacher's here. Put it up." He said, "I don't want that." And he goes, "No, Dad, I want it. Because I want to show him I'm just like you." True story. True story. Like it or not, you lead by example. "Oh, they'll never know. I hide it from them." Oh, no. They know far more than you think they know. Like it or not, you're their hero. Dad, look behind you. There's one following exactly in your footsteps. And where are you taking them? Are you taking them to heaven? Are you taking them to hell? Again, dads, maybe you've never made that decision. What greater way to lead by example than you coming to Jesus this morning and giving Him your heart and your life? And boy, through that, may the Lord draw your children unto Him. Amen? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? One of my dear friends was saved on Father's Day because his little girl who was saved was about 10, 11 years old. She brought him a Bible for his birthday, which was right before Father's Day. And he said, through that gift of a Bible, he said, "I didn't want a Bible. I was not interested in a Bible. I could have cared less about a Bible. But my little girl got that for me." And she's an only child, and she was spoiled rotten. She had daddy right there. You know how most little girls do. And he said, "So that became something to me." And he said, "As I kept looking at that Bible and agonizing over that Bible and thinking about why that would be so much on our heart, I realized how important it was that I learn about the God that she loved." And through that, he said, "God began to melt my heart, and I considered going to church." And he came two or three times, and he didn't even realize it, but it was on a Father's Day that he trusted Jesus as his Savior. And he said, "It was all because that my little girl cared so much to get me a Bible." Here it is, Father's Day again. I want you to understand, sir, your wife and your children cares about your soul if you don't. Boy, I just listened to the voice of God this morning. For those men here that really need some work, I'm not pointing fingers at you because I do as well. Do you understand that? Your pastor does as well. I want to draw a line in the sand. I want my counsel to be godly. I want to be a man of God that my family, my church, my community to look to me and said, "You know what? When Pastor Jamie talks to us, man, I tell you, it's not his ideals, it's not his agenda. It's what the Word of God says." That's what I want in my life. I don't draw a line in the sand there. I tell you something else that I want. I want my companions to be godly. I want to hang out with the saints of God. I'm not going to neglect the sinners. I'm going to do everything I can to mingle. I'm going to do everything I can to share the gospel, let them know I love them. I want them to see the love of God in me and through me. I don't want to negate that responsibility. But when it comes to my leisure, and when it comes to folks that I want to just hang out with, it's going to be the saints of God, because it encourages me, and it also sets a precedence, and it says a lot. I want my companions to be godly, because wherever I hang out, I want my children and my wife to feel comfortable to hang out as well. And then I want my conversations to be godly. Well, I don't just want to walk with Jesus, I want to talk like Jesus. I want my speech and my communication to be godly.
I don't want to be known as being a hypocrite, say one thing on Sunday and be a bucket mouth on Monday. I think my wife and my children and my church family and my community deserve far more than that. So I too want to draw a line in the sand, and I want to be the godly man that God's called me to be. You said, but boy, that's an impossibility. It certainly is in you. But the Spirit of God in you can enable you to be that example. How many men this morning? How many men this morning would make such a commitment? Saying, oh God, you be my helper. I want to be that man. Maybe it takes a wife this morning to reach across the pew and grab her husband by the hand and say, come on, I'll help you. I'll pray for you. I'll be that helpmeet to encourage you because I need you to be that kind of man. How many dads here would be this honest this morning and say, you know what? Pastor, I'm what you talked about towards the end there. I can't help my family, can't help my children because I need help myself. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need Jesus as my Savior. You know, it'd be my great honor and privilege to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Whatever the need is this morning, would you respond to the voice of God? Would you be obedient? Would you make this day count in your life for Christ Jesus? Let's pray together. Our Father, again we bow before You grateful to be in this place. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word, to challenge our men. Father, how desperately we need men to be men of God. Lord, do a fresh work in our hearts and our lives this morning. Lord, as I express before You and before heaven for this congregation, Lord, truly this is the desire of my heart to be a godly man. Father, I do desire for the Spirit of God to lead me in these places. Father, I pray not only for myself, but I pray for every man of God that is in this place. Lord, that You would cleanse us and use us and make us this great example. Father, my greatest prayer for those here, that dads and men that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Draw them, O Lord, unto Yourself. Father, I pray they'll see their great need, repent of their sin, and place their faith in You as Savior. And may they walk out of this place rejoicing to be a child of God. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. God spoke to your heart. Would you come this morning?